Yeah, I think you've noticed that because it's an easy read.
Oh, very much
because
so.
Because it's written conversationally.
Yeah, we've actually had a lot of great feedback. You know, the back of the book, if you have one in front of you, you see that we got some great quotes from Harvard University,
yep.
You know, which said basically that our Ginsuisms cut right to the heart of things.
Yep.
I've actually spoken at Harvard Hall twice because I have a Wisdom of Ginsu keynote speech that I do. And to really great reviews, and especially from the young kids who were, you know, 18, 19, 20, and 21, who still remember Ginsu. So we're getting people like housewives who are saying, you know, I'm not really in business, but, gee, it was just a fun story and a great story because I knew about it. I just didn't know what was going on behind the scenes.
Sure.
Young people, some of the lessons that we talk about might, to an older generation, seem like back to basics, but quite frankly, you know, back to basics is really where this country needs to get back to.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense just isn't so common anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So for those people, it's a refresher course on all of those things that they should have been doing in their business. But for young people, like returning phone calls and returning emails, it's all brand new. You know, what do you mean call someone?
Yeah.
You know, we talk in the book about Ginsuism, which is get back to them or they'll get someone else.
Yep.
I mean, it's true. The younger kids of today who are in business, all they know about is how to communicate electronically.
Mm-hmm.
I jokingly say that voicemail, for an example, is the best way to keep in touch with all the people that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there are some great lessons for everyone in this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that idea of back to basics, we encounter that all the time. And it seems the higher up we go in terms of people we talk to, you know, success stories like yourself or our series with Gary Bensavenga, the direct mail copywriter, when you actually get to talk to people at your level, you're talking about basic stuff and then how important it is.
You know, absolutely. I have, I still run Prime Media, which is a national media buying service, and we purchase media and do direct marketing for, you know, companies all over the United States.
Is that TV primarily?
Pardon me?
Is that entirely
no,
TV?
No, we do internet, we do TV,
oh,
we do radio, we do magazines and newspapers, and we have a great client list that we work with. We like to say we buy media for 30 or 40% less than anyone else. But people ask me all the time, why is it in your business that you always pick up accounts and we pick one up and then lose two?
Mm-hmm.
It's because I do the basics. I never forget that I'm in a client service business. If you're in a client service business, your job is to give service, not to receive it. And today, people don't return phone calls. They don't return emails. I can't tell you how hard it is for me to give my money away, and it shouldn't have to be, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the business of making money, so that means that I've got to give good service to receive it. I never forget that. But many times people do.
Excellent. And that's your third career now, which is Prime Media. And Chris
Prime Media is the ongoing career that we started from retirement. We retired in 1984. We took about 6 years off. And in 1990, we started Prime Media, which was a business designed to let clients take advantage of all of our media buying skills.
Wow.
Because remember, Barry, I think we were the 17th largest user of Spot TV in America.
That's right. We were ahead of AT&T and General Motors and stuff like that.
That's remarkable.
Back in those days, we bought so much TV time.
So we now offer that service to our regular clients. And Barry retired about 3 years ago. And I'm still continuing with that. I'm continuing with the speakers business, which is the Wisdom of Ginsu, a motivational 25 to 45-minute speech. But we get right into the basics. We get into how to ask, how to get a better deal. I mean, Barry and I, in one of our Ginsuisms, always ask. We figure we've saved over $1 million in our personal lives simply by asking.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that if you don't ask, there's no hope. But if you ask, there's always a chance that somebody will say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I routinely get free hotel rooms, Ken. I routinely get bumped from coach to first class. I routinely get free meals in restaurants. I routinely get free clothing when I buy something simply because I know how to ask and I know when to ask. And today, most people don't do that anymore.
Now which Ginsuism is that? I'm going to go back.
That's
always,
always ask.
Always ask. Okay, that's
always
chapter
ask.
5.
When you,
okay.
When you don't ask, there's no hope. But when you do, there's a chance that somebody will say yes. The most anyone can do in life is say no. But if you learn how to use this Ginsuism that we detail in the book, many, many people will say yes.
I'll tell you, you can save a small fortune with this Ginsuism. And I'm very serious. It's unbelievable. I'll give you an example. Just the other week, I went into Best Buy to buy a phone system for the house, you know. Now they can put 6 or 8 phones on it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like $100 a phone or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went to buy it, and I had gotten an email from Best Buy. It said $10 off $100. So I'm on the checkout line, and all of a sudden I get this great idea. Well, if I had 6 of these, would I save $60? So I said to the girl, look, why don't you ring up this as $100, and then stop, and I'll use a coupon. She said, well, you only have one. So I went over to the service desk, and I asked. I said, hey, can you make me 6 copies of this? The guy said, sure. Right in the store. So he gives me 6 of these, and I walked out $60 richer.
Okay.
Now, why? Because I asked.
Okay.
Most people would just say, okay, it's $600, and I'll save $10. Got to ask.
You know, why is it, Ken, that when it comes to asking, the only thing that we think is a candidate is real estate to buy a house, to buy a car, or a Mexican flea market?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I go to Saks Fifth Avenue and I ask for things because I know how to ask. There are magic keywords that we talk about in the book that people say to you that are opening the door for you to get something for free.
Mm.
The last time I was in New York, I stayed at a major hotel on Madison Avenue, and I stayed there for 2 nights, and I paid. I left. I got 2 nights free.
Wow.
When people screw up, I know how to hold their feet to the flame to get what I need.
Well,
now, 99%
days,
of the people would have walked away
with a
good apology, and that would have been the end of it. But if you know how to ask, you can walk away with a lot more than just an apology.
Very good.
So there are many Ginsuisms. You know, we talk about Ginsuism of get back to them or they'll get someone else.
Mm-hmm.
About the whole communications business, Ken. I mean, we live in a century where there are so many ways to communicate with one another than any other society in history, and yet we seem to use these new tools of communications, which I affectionately call WMCs,
mm-hmm.
weapons of mass communications.
Mm-hmm.
And I call them that because they can kill your business without you even knowing it. But it seems that we use all of these tools, Ken, not to talk to one another. I mean, we've all called someone at a certain time knowing that they weren't going to be there just for the purposes of leaving a voicemail. Or we've sent somebody an email when a phone call would have been more appropriate. How many emails have you gotten in your life that could have meant 3 or 4 different things?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because there was no body language. There was no inflection in the voice. I mean, if you're in business, what do? Take your fax machines out for a business lunch?
Yep.
So these are the things that are killing the way we communicate today. And, you know, people say, again, how are you successful? Just do what everyone else is not doing. If most people in this country are not returning phone calls, gee, what does that mean? Maybe you should be returning yours. You never know. The Ginsu knife, the guy from the factory called us. He left a message. He said, I have knives. Please call me back. Can you imagine if we blew that phone call off?
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Can you imagine if we didn't return that phone call? Here's so-and-so from Scott and Fetzer wants to talk to you about a knife. Is that an easy one to blow off?
Absolutely, yeah. This is just eye-opening for me. And it is. I'm sure for a lot of our listeners. You know, interestingly enough, even though I'm known as an internet marketer and have been in this field for over 10 years now, one of the original people, I believe there's 2 important tools in internet marketing. One is paper and pencil, and the other one's the telephone. And it's a great challenge of mine to convince some of my students that they shouldn't be doing everything by email. They should be getting on the phone, especially when they're trying to do higher-level deals. So this is a great reinforcement of that.
It's interesting also, our biggest selling product wasn't the Ginsu. It was Armacode cookware.
Armacode cookware, okay.
Yeah, and what's interesting is we wanted to sell a line of cookware, so we contacted 3 major companies who sold cookware in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Same thing happened here. One of them called us back. The other 2 blew us off.
Wow.
Okay? So $80 million worth of that stuff.
Whew. Amazing.
It probably went over 100, you know, and that's in dollars in those days.
Yeah.
So that's what the guy who didn't call lost.
You know, and another thing, you know, a lot of people in the electronic age do is they have these automated receptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, automated voicemail reception that leads to automated departments that leads to voicemail for individuals. And if the voicemail's full, even the voicemail has a voicemail. I mean, retail stores do that to me all the time. I call a store like Barry mentioned, Best Buy. You don't reach anyone with a pulse when you call Best Buy. You know, you can't find anyone in any one of the departments. You end up leaving a voicemail at several different places. Boy, are they making it hard for me to spend money. Why don't they just put a voicemail on, Ken, that says, "Hi, this is Best Buy. We can't talk to you, but if you drive all the way down to our store, we'll be happy to tell you we don't have that in stock."
This is really amazing because the core of your success over your career was, in a sense, very highly automated. I mean, you ran the spots. There were people taking orders. There were people in the factory making stuff. There were people shipping stuff out. So it was had to be a very automated system. But it's remarkable to me that what you're talking about as being the most important thing is the unautomated things of business.
And everybody wants to automate everything.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk to anybody anymore. I mean, I've been at my desk at 5:30, and I've gotten a phone call that bypassed the reception, came right to my desk. I say, "Hi, hello," and they go, you're there? You're there? Yeah, you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to leave me a voicemail.
Uh-huh.
Or they'll send me an email that says nothing. They don't want to talk to me. And you know what? How are you going to get rich when you don't want to talk to people? You know, I mean, really, it's just absolutely incredible. I mean, if you believe that we believe this, success, financial success, is 15% knowledge, Ken, and 85% in your ability to express ideas and arouse enthusiasm amongst other people. How do you do that if you don't talk to them? How do you arouse enthusiasm with email? How do you motivate and stimulate your clients and the people you want to do business with email or voicemail?
Yeah. I mean, a lot can be done with some of these automated methods, but you're right. In terms of really moving people, nothing beats.
You might have listeners who say, "Yeah, but you know what, Ed, I'm successful."
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what? Compared to what?
It's interesting. We have a colleague whose specialty is selling physical products online of all kinds, and in the last couple of years, he's added live people to take orders, and it has just absolutely transformed the economy of his business.
Sure.
And nobody else in the internet business wants to do it. They all want everything to be automatic. Hey, could we talk about something that you guys are, you know, just absolute masters of, which is the art of using demonstration to convey the value in a product. This is, interestingly enough, when I spoke with Gary Bensavenga, and I've referenced him a couple of times because he was such an amazingly successful direct mail writer, we talked for hours and hours, and his conclusion was the most powerful way to sell anything was not fancy words. It was figuring out how to demonstrate the product so that it was just absolutely crystal clear what the value was. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you guys came up with your demonstrations? Anything about that? Because we're really talking to the masters here on this.
Well, on the Ginsu knife, it was funny. We got samples of everything the factory had, all sorts of different knives. I don't know if I had 100 different knives and cutting devices, et cetera, et cetera. But we decided that this main knife was going to be the thing that was going to drive the commercial, and we just took it and went out and tried to cut everything in sight. And Ed went out, and he picked up he wanted to see if we'll cut a radiator hose, so he lifted up his hood. And he started slicing through the radiator hose. Sure enough, it cut through it, and then we had to call AAA and get a new radiator hose installed. but we came up with what we felt were the best things to show on television for the knife, like cutting wood and then cutting paper, hacking into wood and cutting paper, or cutting a tin can and then slicing a tomato really finely. These are the type of demonstrations, but they come about by trying everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean everything. Going out and trying to cut a tree. So we decided we could cut a branch, but it had to be real thin. So we got thin branches and cut the branches.
So you didn't sit there and theoretically try to come up with the best possible demonstration. You went out there and tried stuff.
We physically did it, and we physically did it pretty much with every one of our products. We did it with our silverware. We did it with our pots and pans. We did it with the Miracle Painter. We did it with everything.
I think people want to see something work. And actually, if you think about it, our book, The Wisdom of Ginsu, is a demonstration in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are 30,000 self-help books that come out every year, and many of them talk about the theory of how to improve your life.
Mm-hmm.
This one actually shows you how to do it by doing it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Barry and I have done to be successful. In a sense, it is a demonstration, because people want to know that Barry and I made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we don't have a platform from which to speak from.
Right.
People want to see something works. They want to hear that something works. Otherwise, they don't want to buy it, because the likelihood of it getting returned is very high. This is what it does. Let me show you how it does it. Let me show you the benefit.
Let me show you what you can do with it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not going to do it, let me show you what you can
right.
you can do with it. So when you get it home, you're going to keep it, because you're going to have in your back of mind, if I ever need to cut a tree or a radiator hose, I can take out my Ginsu knife.
Yeah, and it's like the guy who writes the book and says, if you do this, you'll make $1 million.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't do it, but if you do it,
you
can make $1 million. Where Barry and I say, you do this, and you'll make $1 million, because we did this and made $1 million.
Exactly.
Big difference.
Exactly.
What's interesting also is, like, if you looked at our cookware commercial, people hate it when the eggs get stuck in a pan.
Mm-hmm.
So Ed, I have to give him all the credit for this, took these nonstick pans home and figured a way to scramble eggs and just pull it out as one sheet. It was amazing.
Mm.
Just pull it out with his fingers as one sheet right out of the pan. And we used a line to scramble egg mess, make you shell-shocked.
Mm-hmm.
This was copy.
Mm-hmm.
We used it a clever cleaver in Ginsu, when our set of Ginsu, the second set of Ginsu knives. How's that for a clever cleaver? What we decided to do was take a cleaver and put wavy edges at the top and call it a meat tenderizer. So now you had a cleaver with an additional use, and demonstrate not only a cleaver, but you can use it as a meat tenderizer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It can slice bread so thin you can see through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, if you don't mind, let me read some of the copy from the classic Ginsu commercial.
Sure.
Just to demonstrate some of the elements that you put together. Again, it starts out, in Japan, the hand can be used like a knife, and there's the board getting cut. But this method doesn't work with a tomato, and then the hand smacks this tomato, and it turns into a mess. That's why we use the Ginsu. It's a knife that no kitchen should be without. The Ginsu can cut a slice of bread so thin you can almost see through it. And you're hearing the words, but these are accompanied by the actual seeing someone do it.
That's right.
It cuts meat better than an electric knife, and then you're comparing it to something else. It goes through frozen food as though it were melted butter. The Ginsu is so sharp, it can cut through this tin can and still slice a tomato like this. It can chop wood and still remain razor sharp. So it was an amazing product, and even though it had been sitting in the bins of supermarkets for 40 years, ignored, and you guys figured out how to bring out that amazing quality
right.
to it. And I also think, and I'm sure you agree, that the shtick, again, I'm using that word because that's really what it is, of making it Japanese was just brilliant. Because, again, if it came from Ohio, offense to Ohio.
When you talk about the knife being a great knife, there's an old adage that says, nothing makes a bad product fail faster than good advertising.
Okay.
And this was a great product. And it not only was successful, it was wildly successful. When you go out and you start telling the people that you can do this, 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 and this, and it can't do that,
mm-hmm.
they're going to find out pretty quickly.
Yep, yep.
And this has been going on for 27 years, so we couldn't, we couldn't do this with smoke and mirrors for that long.
Yeah,
maybe
a year or two, but not
for 27 years.
Sometimes people get the cart before the horse in direct response. They get enamored of all the amazing techniques for persuasion, and they forget that the product better deliver.
It sure better deliver. And you have to also remember the people. When Barry and I wrote these commercials, as I'm sure you remember, Barry, we tried to put ourselves in the minds of
the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Always, always.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to react to this? How are they going to react to that? It's interesting, in the second Armaco cookware commercial, we started off with a chicken, a raw chicken being dropped on a diamond ring.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A woman's hand flashing a big diamond and a chicken came down. What that has to do with, it doesn't matter. But I remember when the editor came in to edit the spot,
uh-huh.
and we were still in the studio, he looked at just the opening and he said, "Oh my God, what the heck is that?" We knew we had a winner. Because if
Excellent.
He was going to say that, everybody was going to stay with the commercial.
Well, let's actually talk a little bit about the sequencing of your commercials. In other words, there's a process that you want the viewer's mind to go through. Number one, I guess, is you want that reaction of, "Oh my God, what's that?" So you got that with the tomato being smashed on the cutting board. You got that with the chicken falling on the hand.
We got it with the second one of Ginsu with Ed flying through the air and karate kicking a watermelon.
Okay. So that's obviously step one, and this is sort of a tried and true formula, but it's so important. I think it's worth reviewing. So step one is you've got to get attention. And you were getting attention in a way that drew people also to the product itself. It wasn't just attention for attention's sake. You're getting them to immediately start thinking about something that the product did for the viewer. So step one is get attention. Then it looks like you would then go into showing all the different things that the product could do.
Mm-hmm.
So into the demonstration, which is your proof, sort of, you know, it almost is better than ad copy because if you see it, you believe it.
Right.
Let's talk about the third step to this, which is closing, because that's the key, right? That's getting people to get off, especially when you were starting, get off the couch, find the checkbook, find a stamp, you know, get an envelope, fill it out. How did you close? What were you thinking? What's your approach to closing people?
Well, we actually get into detail in the book about the close, so I don't want to give too many things away.
Okay, fair enough.
But we gave you 2 out of 3. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Now, let me ask you this. For my sake, because I've got the book, remind me, which Ginsuism is that, the close?
It's all in the development of the Ginsu.
Okay.
If we get into the chapter where we start to talk about the development of the Ginsu.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, so I'll definitely go back and study that. There's so much in this book, again, not just relating to the details of marketing and advertising, but also just how to conduct yourself and how to run a successful business.
How to have a better relationship with your wife, how to have a better relationship with your girl, how to buy a car, how to buy a house, how to get a great deal on just about everything. There's a chapter in there called Check Your Check. How to keep your business financially sound and make sure that things are not being taken away from you,
mm-hmm.
that money isn't being pilfered, make sure that all your invoices are checked.
And that's, not to interrupt, but that's for people listening, that's a much more serious problem than you might think unless you've experienced the downside of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to tell you, you need that in your personal life also,
mm-hmm.
check to check.
Yep.
I remember when Ed and I first met, he was so impressed. We went, I think we were in Kennedy Airport in New York or somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden we're having dinner with some people, with the manufacturers of the Miracle Painter, and they give me the check. I look at it, I said, "This is wrong," instantly.
Mm.
There were 6 of us, and they had 7 entrees on it, you know.
Okay.
How many people don't bother with that?
Okay. And you're,
yeah,
and
but
you're
now,
into
what,
it.
What if there's an invoice for, you know, a couple of $100,000 worth of merchandise? And there's really only $175,000 worth of merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between that invoice and the restaurant invoice?
Mm-hmm.
People are people.
Mm-hmm.
We make mistakes.
Yep.
Sometimes intentional. Lots of times, I like to think, unintentional. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, they're mistakes.
So
it's not their job to check the checkbook. It's your job to check the checkbook.
Yep.
If you're getting taken, it's your fault.
Great.
It's interesting because we have a friend who had a bookkeeper for 20, 25 years. And they loved her and this and that and the other. And she walked out with $750,000 over that period of time.
Wow.
Because they trusted her. So if you don't check your own check, you're going to get taken.
And we've heard similar stories. And it all boils down to not checking the check.
That's right.
It absolutely does.
So there's yet another Ginsuism. So the book is The Wisdom of Ginsu, Carve Yourself a Piece of the American Dream by the Ginsu guys, Barry Betcher and Ed Valenti. You can also go to the website and learn even more about the Ginsu guys and even get your own Ginsu knife set at ginsuguys.com. Then there's Prime Media, which is a company that helps people get great deals on media, which is not limited just to TV, but also includes radio, and you mentioned internet as well.
Right, and that's Prime Media in Rhode Island. There are 2 of them. Some other company changed their name and also decided to call themselves Prime Media.
Okay, so how is somebody...
It's primemediahq.com.
PrimeMediaHQ.com.
Yeah, PrimeMedia is one word. It's PrimeDia. There's also a link to PrimeMedia on the GinsuGuys.com website. There's also a link to a speakers bureau that represents me as a speaker as well.
Oh, great. So if anybody wants to hear Ed talk about this stuff live and straight from the horse's mouth, that's a way to get in touch with him about that. What would be your ideal client on the media side? Who's a typical candidate for your services? Is there such a thing?
Anyone who wants to take advantage of all of the techniques that we've used to gain an edge over their competition, whether they're selling a human being and a political candidate to goods and services. Someone who wants to shave about 30 or 40% off their ad budget and still buy the same stuff is a good candidate.
Someone who has
a great product line and maybe wants to do some brand direct marketing. The list is endless. If you go to our website, you get a look at all of our clients online, and you get a chance to see the range of services that we provide.
And that's PrimeMediaHQ.com.
.com.
Is there a particular budget that people should have if they're going to get involved with you? In other words, is there a cutoff? I mean, obviously, if somebody only has a budget of a few thousand dollars, that's probably not something.
No, not a few thousand dollars. Probably anything from, say, $50,000 and up would be appropriate.
Okay. And, of course, in this business, if you have a good product and you present it effectively and you have a good media buyer assisting you, you can leverage your money, or you can,
use
the word pyramid.
All the difference in the world. In the Ginsuism, always ask.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we forgot to tell you that we asked for all the time was free airtime.
Oh. And you've gotten it.
Free, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of free commercials.
Wow.
Simply by asking and knowing how to ask.
And you do that on behalf of your clients as well?
Of course.
I still do it. Huh? I use Ginsuisms every day.
You know, it's interesting. We spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars of our own money on advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to think about this. You go to most advertising agencies, and they have somebody there who never spent a nickel of their own money. It's always somebody else's money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, OPMs, other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really care how much they spend?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's very interesting is we spent our own money for all those years. We were the 17th largest user of television in the country.
Mm-hmm.
We spend other people's money. I'm not involved with the company anymore, but when I was a few years ago, we always spend other people's money like it was our own.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the pits there, and it was unbelievable because I was actually buying time too. And we're merciless, I guess is the correct word. I'm looking for it, and that's probably it.
When we spend other people's money.
At your
peak of the Ginsu period, you were spending more money on TV spots than Coca-Cola.
That's right.
Which, I mean, think about that. I mean,
yep.
That's an incredible.
And I got to tell you that probably 10 to 15% of that was free.
Wow. And I guarantee that the ad agency for Coca-Cola never got them a single free spot.
You got that one right.
not to the level that we got it for.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Barry and Ed, we've come to the end of the promised hour. I appreciate the time you've shared with us and the insight and the experience. It was very exciting for me to get to talk with you, and I'm sure for the listeners as well to hear the details of your story. The book, again, is The Wisdom of Ginsu, Carve Yourself a Piece of the American Dream. I really like it. I really recommend everybody get it. And is it true that if they order off GinsuGuys.com, they can get an autographed copy?
That's correct.
Wow. Wow, that might be the place to get it then. Well, guys, thanks so much. I appreciate, the value of your hour, and I think we got a lot of good suggestions and good advice and inspiration for our listeners today.
Go
okay,
and
thank
money.
You. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you again.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.